Well, let me invite you now to turn in your Bible to the passage that we read from Matthew chapter 5. We are thinking over these few Sunday mornings, taking, if you like, this theme of letting your light shine, the call to make a difference, and the words of Jesus here. And as I say that, there is the essence of the message: let your light shine. And last week, just to summarize, we were thinking of how Christians are different from the world, from these verses. Christians are called to enter the world, and Christians can have a real influence in the world. We saw that from these verses. Jesus says, "You and you alone are the salt of the earth, and you alone are the light of the world." So we are different, not because we're superior or think we're any better than anyone else, but we are different. And we are to enter the world just as the salt was to be rubbed on the meat and the fish. It wasn't to be kept in the salt shaker. It's to be rubbed into society. And the light is to shine in the darkness. And those wonderful words which encouraged us in verse 16 there, Matthew 5, verse 16: "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So not only seeing the good works, but coming to praise our Heavenly Father as well. So having an effect, having an influence. And we asked the question, well, how is this possible? And we picked up, and again, just a summary. Jesus went on to expound many things, but he spoke of a new righteousness. He spoke of a new love, not only for friend, but for foe as well, amazingly. He spoke for a new purpose, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. And we saw how this is only possible. It's not possible by trying to pull your socks up. It's not possible by turning over a new leaf, whatever that means. It's only possible, we believe, when God comes by his Holy Spirit and does a work within our hearts. We call it the new birth. Sometimes it's a very dramatic thing. Sometimes it's very undramatic. But the new birth, leading to a new heart, leading to a new righteousness and a new love and a new purpose. And today I want to just continue on this theme. If you like, I'm continuing to, in a broad way, expound this text: let your light shine before men. And just by way of illustration, I recently read of a survey that was done through many churches. Most of them, I think, evangelical churches, churches that seemed to be making an impact in the places where they were. And there were certain things that kept coming to the surface. And so I want to mention these things by way of applying and expounding this text: let your light shine. So what were these things, and how can we maybe apply them to ourselves? Well, one of them was really to do with how we look at life and what is our focus. I don't know, I'm sure most of us, maybe not everyone, but I'm sure most of us here have had the experience of flying on an aeroplane. And I wonder, in an aeroplane, do you prefer the window seat, or do you say, I want the aisle seat? Some people have very strong views about that. And of course, the aisle seat will give you a bit of comfort and convenience and all the rest of it, and you'll not have to be jostling out past somebody when they're trying to sleep and all that kind of thing. But the thing about the window seat is that it gives you an opportunity to see what's going on on the outside. And some people really like that. They like to try and see weather permitting where they're at and what's going on, as it were, down below and all the rest of it. And it struck me that, you know, some churches are a bit like that. Sometimes a church and as individuals, we can be taken up almost entirely with what's going on the inside. And we almost forget, well, what's going on the outside? And I have quoted this to you before, the famous dictum of Archbishop William Temple, who said this very interesting phrase. He said, "The church is the only society in the world which exists for the benefit of its non-members." Very interesting phrase. So in other words, the church is not just to be taken up with itself, it's to be taken up with others who are not yet part of the church. Again, I've mentioned this to you before, that somebody once said that there are two types of DNA in the church. One church exists kind of with the mentality, we exist to have our own personal spiritual needs met. That's really why we're here, to meet my needs. The other church kind of church exists with the attitude, we exist to impact our locality with the grace of God found in Jesus Christ. Sad to say, the first kind of church is a sort of what you might call a stall church. It's not really going to go too far, I'm afraid to say. So we need to be having our focus, not just on ourselves, but to let the light shine. That's what Jesus is saying here in the text. Let your light shine. Let it shine. Not just within the walls, but let it shine out into the darkness. So what about us? What about our focus here in Kilkeel? All I'm saying is that we must always have that focus on trying to reach those who are still not in Christ. And I do believe that by the grace of God, we do need to be more bold, not in the cheeky sense, but more bold and intentional in inviting people to things and speaking to people about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that many of us, and myself included, we are our very nature. I think there's something within the Ulster Scot mentality that is in a sense quite reserved. In one sense, and we don't really want to push ourselves, but we do need to push ourselves, I think, at times, and only by God's grace take courage and be a little bit more bold for the gospel. So can I challenge you to think of people, maybe in your family, maybe in your wider circle of friends, and maybe some of them at this very moment, they're not sitting in any church. They're not going anywhere. When was the last time that you invited them and said, look, we'd love to see you out at church. You'd be very, very welcome. So our focus, not just on the aisle, but on what's going on outside. Another thing that came up was purpose. And again, if I can use an illustration here from in the area of a gym, any gym, think about the difference between training and taking exercise for the purpose of your health or because you're part of a team and you want to be a strong member of that team. And those who maybe train for the purpose of making themselves look good, with all due respect to them, what's more important, do you think? To be healthy or to look good on the outside? Well, I think the most important thing, I'm sure you'll agree, is that we would try to be healthy. And within the Church of Jesus Christ, Jesus in this Sermon on the Mount, if you like, is presenting this manifesto, if I could call it like that, and many have, something that will help his followers to be healthy and strong, to be what they ought to be, to let the light shine, to let the salt be rubbed in to the society. And again, we think of purpose. Many churches have a purpose statement. I don't have it up on the screen, but I'm sure if I was to ask you, you could recite it. You're thinking about it all the time. Well, we need to be reminded, don't we? Remember our purpose statement we came up with a few years ago? We exist to, and it's built around the letters KPC. That's the easy way to remember it. We exist to know and glorify God, to produce Christ-like disciples, committed to showing love to all people everywhere. So knowing God, producing disciples, committed to showing love and witnessing, that's the KPC, that's the purpose. That's why we're here, folks. That's why we're here. And thank the Lord, it's not just about what goes on the inside. It's also about trying to reach others on the outside. You see, at the heart of the work of the church is producing disciples. Jesus said, go into all the world and produce, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded to you. And Paul said to the Ephesians that God has given some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body may be built up. So again, let me mention this to you. Disciples, the discipleship course. Are you interested in being part of the discipleship course? It will be starting, God willing, on Tuesday the 30th of January. Now, if everybody was to sign up, we would have to then be saying, well, actually, you can't all come on the first night. There's only a limited number of people who can come, but we would organise something else for everybody to make sure that everybody was catered for. It's a very, very good course, essentials put together by the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. So if you're on the verge of signing up and thinking about it, let me ask you today, before you go home and have your dinner, to sign the sheet in the porch. Because discipleship not only will make a difference, it will make a greater difference and make quite an impact. And that's why we're here, folks. That's our purpose, to make disciples who will go and let the light shine. Another thing that came up, and again, you remember what I'm doing here. I'm expounding, I'm applying this phrase, let your light shine. I'm really sharing with you things that God is using in the world today to help churches make an impact. Churches that are focused not just on themselves, but on the outside. Churches that are focused not just on those who are here, but those who aren't here. Churches that have a real purpose. Let's make disciples. And the word empowerment, I'm sure you're very disappointed that I haven't come up with words that are all beginning with the same letter. Sometimes preachers do that sort of thing, but it's good sometimes not to do it. So what's this empowerment about? Well, let me tell you a wee story here. You may be familiar with the thinking about helping people. To give someone a fish is a good thing. Often a hungry person needs a fish more than a fishing lesson. But while giving someone a fish will temporarily stave their hunger, it doesn't answer the question, why are they hungry? Acts of kindness and mercy are really important. And I think we should explore how we as individuals and as a church can increase our mercy ministry. Many churches talk about mercy ministries. I don't know if you've even thought about that phrase. Can I suggest to you that we have a mercy ministry? Well, I'm sure we have more than one. But our involvement with Wakisa Ministries in Uganda is a mercy ministry in many, many ways. But I'm sure if we thought about it, there could be mercy ministries that we can involve ourselves with on our own doorstep. Don't have to travel to Africa to show mercy. Indeed, someone might say, well, why show mercy hundreds and thousands of miles away and not show it a few feet away from your front doorstep? And that's a good question. But please remember this, when we're talking about empowering people, we're not talking about handouts. We want to be part of something that's not about handouts, but a hand up. And this brings me to the very heart of the gospel. Because, folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest hand up that anyone can receive. Whenever a man or a woman or a young person comes to experience the grace of God, comes to repent and believe the gospel and to receive Jesus into their life as Savior and Lord, what they're receiving is not a handout, but a gospel hand up. The hand of redemption, literally lifting people. And we've all heard stories of people who in a sense, they've been redeemed. But they've literally been redeemed out of very difficult situations. Maybe redeemed out of an addiction. Maybe redeemed out of poverty. Maybe redeemed out of an awful family situation or an awful predicament. They've literally been lifted up. They've been empowered. Folks, that is the gospel that we subscribe to. It's not a handout, but it's a hand up. Sovereign, wonderful gospel, hand up. That's what we're about. And that's the wonderful, empowering thing that the gospel does. We need to remember that, folks. And maybe you can think of people. And what they need today is not a handout. Well, they maybe do need a handout, and that will help them along the way. But their problems will still be there. What they need ultimately is the Lord. And you know, there are people, many people in our town and in our community and our land who are like that. They're living in handouts. And I don't want to say too much about that. But ultimately what they need is the ultimate hand up. The gospel. They need Christ in their hearts. The empowering of the gospel. The last thing I would mention is this. The outcome. I don't know if I was to ask you. Some of you are more into the sport and better at the sport maybe than I am as regards. But I'll not ask you to shout out names. But I wonder if I was to say, who are some of the managers at the moment who are struggling? Who are under a wee bit of pressure because the results aren't quite going their way. I remember reading once about an unnamed, at this moment, a sporting manager who was very, very good at giving these wonderful pep talks before the game. And then the team went out and they got thrashed. And eventually somebody said, you know what? These talks sound wonderful, but actually they're not making any difference. And you know, isn't that true in the Church of Jesus Christ? It's no use us having some wonderful sounding pre-game talks. Success, in one sense, is judged by the game and who wins the game. And in a similar way, we will be judged, if I can put it this way, not by the pre-game talk, but by the game of life and how we live in the game of life, how we live out our profession of faith. And therein lies the challenge. I was always challenged some years ago. I remember reading the true story of someone who had heard a sermon. I don't know where the sermon was preached, but the sermon was called 10 Minutes After the Benediction. And this sermon described how people can easily move after the benediction is over, as they eloquently put it, from the Gloria to gossip. From the creed to criticism, from worshipping God to wounding men. And you know, folks, that sort of thing can happen, can't it? But when you think about it, it really grieves the Spirit of God. It dishonors the Lord Jesus Christ. And in many ways, here's the serious thing. It can actually bring the Christian faith into disrepute. And it's at the exact opposite of what Jesus says here. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The late John Stott, in an interview, was once asked, "Do you have any concerns about the church in the West?" And he said this, and I quote, he says, "My main concern for the church everywhere is that we often do not look like what we are talking about." Let me repeat that. "My main concern for the church everywhere is that we often do not look like what we are talking about. We make great claims for Christ, but there can also often be a credibility gap between our words and our actions." Some of you, I'm sure, have been to the London Underground. Do you remember the thing that keeps sounding, "Mind the gap, mind the gap"? Sometimes there can be a gap between what we claim to be and what we actually are. And folks, that can be a very challenging thing, and I don't want it just to come across as a heavy rebuke. I don't. I'm preaching to my own heart, remember, as well. But I do want, and this sermon is about to end, I do want you to realize this, that if we, every single person who professes to be a Christian believer, if when we go out through that door in a few minutes' time, and if 10 minutes after the benediction, and 10 hours after the benediction, and a few days after the benediction, we are by God's grace far from perfect, but we are seeking to be what we claim to be, let me tell you this, you wouldn't believe the difference that will make. A profound difference. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in coming days and weeks and months, people, they'll maybe not say it to your face or my face, but they said to themselves, "You know what? That man and that woman really are seeking to follow the Lord Jesus." And it would make you think. And as somebody once said to me, you know, it would make you think. And it would make me think so much that I might even appear to church someday myself. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Jesus said in the same way, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we simply pray that through the work of your grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be what we claim to be in life and in word and in deed. We ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing this lovely song that speaks about knowing the Lord Jesus, all I once held dear and built my life upon.